Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, September 16th, Thankful Tuesday. I hope you will send me what you are thankful for as you're thinking throughout the week. Oh yeah, that's something I'm thankful for. If you'll send me a note, let me know so that we can give praise to the Lord alongside you. We're in Isaiah, the book of Acts, and Psalms as our daily rhythm, but I've kind of forgotten doing our memory verse for the last couple of weeks. So we want to get back into that rhythm somewhat. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 33. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? On Sunday, Wayne reminded us that we should extend the mercy of God because he has lavished it upon us. And I've been thinking a lot about that after his sermon, and I hope that you have as well. In the book of Isaiah today, we are reading a prophecy against Tyre. Tyre was a major Phoenician port city. And just like Isaiah prophesies the fall of Babylon, he then goes through and talks about all of Israel's neighbors and how they too will be judged for their pride and injustice. So today we're going to read about Tyre. A prophecy against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed and left without house or harbor. For the land of Cyprus, word has come to them. Be silent, you people of the island, and you merchants of Sidon, whom the seafarers have enriched. On the great waters came the grain of Shihor. The harvest of the Nile was the revenue of Tyre, and she became a marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, Sidon, for you fortress of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared sons nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at their report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old, old city, whose feet have taken her to settle in far-off lands? Who planned this against Tyre? The bestowers of crowns, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are renowned in the earth? The Lord Almighty planned it, to bring down her pride in all her splendor, and to humble all who are renowned on the earth. Our second passage today is in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. This is about Philip and the Ethiopian, and it's about Philip going down, it says, from Jerusalem to Gaza. I Googled that. It's like 40-something miles, maybe 47 miles. And as he's starting out on the road, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And this is the story of their interchange. It's quite fascinating, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you today about the people that God brings in your path, and that you might be aware and open to God using you as an instrument of grace and also of truth. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candike, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with this very passage of scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Well, what do you notice in this passage? First, it stuck out to me that the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and just stay near it." Seems kind of odd, doesn't it? And sometimes I wonder if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me or if it's just like a bellyache, but sometimes you have that voice within you that speaks to you and says, "Go and do this." And when that happens, we need to be aware and observant and ask the Lord for wisdom. So Philip runs up to the chariot and he asks a good question. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And a happenstance, a holy wink here is that he's reading the book of Isaiah that we're reading as well. And he's reading a passage that is a prophetic message about the Messiah. And just as Jesus on the road to Emmaus explained to the believers, to the disciples, that all of Scripture spoke of him, Philip now explains to the Ethiopian eunuch, using this as a launching path to talk about Jesus and the good news. The passage is, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." That makes me think about Jesus going before the council and before Pilate, and how you could hardly get him to talk because he knew the mission. He knew that God had called him to go to the cross for us. Verse 33, "In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice." Of course, he was not guilty of sin, and yet he was killed. "Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And we all know that we are his descendants. He didn't have any physical heirs, but we are called his brothers and sisters, and we are children of God because of one thing. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, went to the cross, was killed and buried, and he was resurrected, and he declared victory over the grave and over sin in our hearts and our lives. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Our psalm today is Psalm 66. We'll be reading verses 1 and 3. I think this is really appropriate as it relates to Thankful Tuesday. For the director of music, a song, a psalm. "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Several people replied last week about what they're grateful for. Pat is grateful for the signs of fall. Now, some of those signs have gone away. Not really. In the morning, it's still cooler. But that cooler air and the falling leaves that display the beauty of God's changing world. Amen, Pat. Thank you, Lord, for these signs of fall. Natalie Towery, who is a new member at Mountain Brook Baptist, along with her daughters, who are twins, Sheila and Courtney, and her husband, Jim, she is thankful that she has a new church family. And Natalie, you are such a blessing to us. And then Lou Ann Wall is thankful for the beautiful creation that God has given us, for the Mountain Brook Baptist staff, for the Mispah Sunday School class, for the Cooks on a Mission team, and the VBS team. And I'm thankful as well for all the ways that these different people come together with one common mission, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Will you pray with me? Father, on this thankful Tuesday, we want to reorient our hearts around gratitude to you for what you have done and for who you are. And so we're going to begin with your character, Lord. We are so grateful for who you are. As the psalmist reminds us, your deeds are awesome. How great is your power? Father, we also want to thank you for a person in our lives. Who was someone that was like Philip, someone who stood beside you and helped you to understand God's word? Lift them up to the Lord even now. Let's also give thanks for a little one in our lives, someone that brings us some joy. At the same time, I know that there is hurt within us, and I pray with you even now, lifting the names of those who need a touch from the Lord. And now let us give thanks for a place. Maybe it's a place you're headed to. Maybe it's somewhere that you just came home from. Perhaps it's a little nook in your house or your office. Maybe it's a quiet space, or somewhere where you can meet friends. Lord, we thank you that according to Acts, you have determined the places and the seasons of our lives. Help us to be mindful of your work around us. And now, Lord, we thank you for something this past week that was brought to mind that, like, man, if I did not have this, I would be so upset. And yet oftentimes we forget to give you praise for it. So we lift our voices even now, Lord, to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.